Well, I was reading through in my personal time with God this week, and part of what I had read was 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I thought to myself, boy, this passage of scripture would be just apropos for Sunday night's evangelistic testimony service. So I'm going to have you turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll start in verse 12, and we will consider actually through verse 5 of chapter 3. As you open this passage of Scripture, it's important, I think, to understand that God tells us in this portion of Scripture about the work of God to open doors for the gospel. So you look at your Bible in chapter 2, verse 12, and you see that God tells us, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And this is an event that you read about in the third missionary journey. It takes place in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul was following up in the churches that he had planted in earlier journeys. And he was visiting the churches, and they are on the western side of Asia Minor. It's today modern-day Turkey. And they're praying about, what do we do next? And they're thinking, we're going to go east. And the Holy Spirit of God closed that door. Said, no, you need to go west. So they leave where they are, further inland, not too far from the coast, and they go inland closer to the coast to a city called Troas. And while they're in Troas, remember what happens? God sends a vision, the Macedonian vision. It's sometimes called the Macedonian call. And there's a man of Macedonia that appears, and God communicates. He says, come over and help us. And they saw this as God's clear direction. God closed one door and opened another door. And so it was that God had opened this door for them to share the Lord Jesus Christ. It took them eastward, and the history of the church then began to move eastward. And God's sovereign and divine plan for the spread of the gospel. Well, while he is on this journey, there's something that happens to him. Verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. And he really has some things happening in his life, and he really needed his friend and co-laborer, Titus. But he couldn't find him. It's not like he could shoot out an email, Titus, where are you? Or give him a call on his phone. Where are you, Titus? And he really wanted to spend time with his friend Titus. He was in a very difficult place in his own life. In fact, we read more about it in this letter, chapter 7, verse 5, and then verse 6. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Did you ever have times like that? On the outside, there's a fight, and on the inside, there are fears that overwhelm your soul. And then he says, and not by his coming only, but by the, verse 6, nevertheless, God comforteth those that are cast down and comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So God opened doors and God closed doors. You know, God is still doing that today. There is, on the list of people that we just wrote down, look at all the open doors that are there. Opportunities, people that God has burdened you to pray about. These are people you have witnessed to repeatedly, and God's opened a door. Their hearts haven't been opened yet, but yet there are some that will. There are others you're praying about that right now there's not an open door, but you're praying that God would open the door. You know, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul made this his own prayer request. His request was, with all praying for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance. And isn't that what we're doing as a congregation? When we call out those names that were listed tonight and others that you may submit in different ways at different times, what we're doing is we're saying, would you pray for us that God would open for me a door of utterance to my friend, to my loved one, to my neighbor, to this individual, to the person in the community, to my coworker. We're praying for God to open doors, open hearts to the truth of the gospel. So the work of God to open doors for the gospel. And then in this passage of scripture, there's something else that God tells us, and he tells us about the will of God to openly proclaim the gospel. So we read in our Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." So that the sharing of the gospel of Christ is like a sweet perfume. And everywhere you go, God shares the sweetness of this perfume of the truth of the gospel. And he does it by us. How is the gospel spread? The gospel is spread by people like you and people like me. And we meet people. God puts them in our path. And they are people that we believe God has placed in our path and given us a burden for, so that we can share with them the sweet savor and the sweetness of the perfume of the gospel spreads as each of us seek to share with that individual. And as we share, we triumph in the sharing. Not necessarily in the responding. We triumph in the sharing, that we are part of what God is doing and whom God is using to those individuals that he puts in our lives, that we're sharing with them how they can know Christ and be saved. Oh, there's the sweet savor, that we triumph in the sharing. There's the sweet savor in the sharing. Look at your Bible, verse 15. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." You know, in the Old Testament, there were a number of offerings that were given, and some of these are called sweet savor offerings. The offerer comes to the Lord, and usually these offerings are offerings that are dealing with their sin. And they come to the Lord. Sometimes they're offerings of praise. Sometimes they're offerings of sin, of restitution, of restoration. But the offerings are given. And as that offering is placed upon the altar, the brazen altar, and it is consumed, and the smoke of that offering rises to heaven, God calls these offerings sweet savor offerings. Because to him, individuals broken over their sin, desiring restoration, when they are willing to come to God with such brokenness, now they're at a place where they're honoring him. And to him, it is a sweet savor. And in this passage, God takes this picture of the sweet savor offering, and he says, you know, the sharing of the gospel is a lot like that offering. And when it's given, verse 15, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. So that God receives the blessing when we share the gospel with somebody. It's like that sweet savor offering, and it pleases the Lord. But not only that, but you'll notice again in your Bible that this is a sweet savor in them that are saved and in them that perish. And that seems almost strange, doesn't it? Because you'll notice verse 16, to the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And isn't it interesting that to some, when the gospel is shared to those that are responsive and they receive Christ, when the gospel is shared, that savor becomes sweet because it reminds them of the life that they have. But yet, there are other individuals who hear the same truth, and that same truth becomes to them a stench that leads them to death. It's interesting, isn't it? To some, the sweetness of the gospel saves; to others who reject, that which could be their redemption becomes their condemnation. So we share and we pray and we trust God, but ultimately the responsibility becomes the individuals to whom we share. Sometimes God opens doors and he opens hearts. I told you a few minutes ago about the lady that knew the Stanley Heights song when she was a girl. So you know who I told you to see to learn how that song. There you go. Well, here's what's very interesting. During our evangelistic, our outreach week, we're of course giving out scripture portions, invitations to Easter, and we're striving to be very faithful in our community so there's nobody in our city here around us in the city of East Ridge that can ever say that there wasn't someone that cared enough to go by their door and give them the Bible, a portion of the scripture, a gospel literature. If somebody goes to hell in our city, it breaks your heart. They don't need to go to hell, but it's not because we were not diligent in sharing with them how they can go to heaven. So there was a street that had everything done except for just the very end of that street. And outreach week was over, and so a team of us went and were finishing up that map and doing some other things in our city. And that's where we met this lady. Here's what's amazing. Whenever our team was out visiting, they ran out of scripture portions and the literature that we had. They stopped just a few houses down. That lady had been in some trouble. She was not there. And so when we went back to finish up that street, this lady comes out. Oh, I know the Stanley Heights song. Told you the story. And we were talking. And as Harrison and I were talking to this lady, he is my partner. We're working on learning to be a witness and witnessing. We said, you know, our other people in our church were doing this street and they ran out of literature. Told her about it. Do you think it's an accident that you were released from where you were? Do you think it's an accident that we happened to come by your house tonight? No, it's not an accident. God sent you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't always work that way. Doing some training this week and had a really weird... How many of you ever had like weird situations you never thought would have happened like the way they did? We had a really weird situation. I won't bore you with the details. But had a really weird situation. And unusual the way it all played out. And so we were getting back to the car, and there's a man that was involved in this very unusual situation. And so we just said, hey, listen, we're from Stanley Heights Baptist Church. And he says, oh, go on, I don't want to hear it. Okay. Left an invitation card that we provide. Can you get your, make sure you pick up your invitation cards on the way out. You see, for one, there's a sweet savor of the gospel that brings life. To the other, a few blocks apart, that very same gospel brings condemnation, death unto death. And then in this portion of Scripture, there's a really important question that is asked. And it's really the wonder that I often have about sharing the gospel. Maybe you have the same question. And the Apostle Paul ends verse 16 with these words, "And who is sufficient for these things?" Well, the answer to his question, who's sufficient? The answer is actually found in chapter 4 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We find God's sufficiency when we speak, verse 17, if we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. We find his sufficiency when we have his enabling power to speak, and then to speak in sincerity, to tell people the truth. Do so authentically and honestly and lovingly. And then the sufficiency of God becomes known to us when we leave the results with God. How many of you have ever filled out a college reference or a character reference, or maybe for somebody who's looking for a job? And how many of you have done that before? Oh boy, almost all of you have. How many of you have had it done for you? Did you have good ones? I hope you did. So the Apostle Paul says, you know, do you think that I need you all to write a reference for me? Have someone else write a reference for me to give to you to prove that I am an apostle and the place that I have? Well, verse 1 of chapter 3 through verse 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, in the tables of stone and in fleshy tables of the heart. You see, you leave those results with God, and God supernaturally does a work. Sometimes people are open, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're open, not now, but later. Sometimes you never know. You may not know on this side of eternity the place that you had in that person's life. Sometimes we're all probably fortunate enough to hear about someone that we shared Christ with, and sometime later, in another time, another place, they came to Christ. And we would have no idea. God gives us those encouragements and glimmers of hope. But everywhere you go, and everywhere you and I go, a story is being written. And I wonder, as God is working in our lives, what is the story that is written in our lives? But ultimately, we are sufficient when our faith is in God. So chapter 3 and verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. One of the families in our missionary highlights today, you saw the Forbes family. One family, of course, is in a sensitive area. Isn't that interesting? In their country, and if you know what country they're in, then it really should be an alarm as to how strong the rise of totalitarianism in that country is. They were giving a Christian book away, and there's an individual waiting prison for distributing Christian books. The other family, there's an individual they asked us to pray for. And I have to tell you, as I understand what is happening, and their letter is not as clear as I would like it to be, but it seems to me that there's an individual that just, it seems to me that what's happened is an individual who's leading, and they were sharing the gospel and sharing the gospel and sharing the gospel, and they were meeting people and sharing the gospel, and people weren't coming to Christ. How many of you ever just wondered, why I keep sharing the gospel and I don't see the response? And the individual, maybe you felt this way, we were asked to pray that God would encourage that one. That indeed, the gospel is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth. And it may be that all of us have times when we share and we pray and we don't see that immediate response. But yet, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are indeed lights of the gospel. And whatever happens with those individuals for whom we're praying, I come back to the very same question that I ask you many times. Who is the one person for whom you're praying that you can share with them the gospel that you would like to be saved? The one. I have a question. Maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not. Jesus said, "Ye shall be fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I wonder, is it possible that if you're not fishing, you're not following? Would you stand with me, please, and we'll pray.